we're back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for October 15th, 2007. And with us today we have GambusCon.
Hello, everybody.
The How's pothead it going? With Down Syndrome.
Yes, I got Down Syndrome.
So you're doing October 15th because it's going to air tomorrow? Or are you doing October 15th because you get the wrong day?
No, it airs on Monday.
Right.
See, that's the illusion. People think it's live.
Damn it, you've ruined it, Brian. You broke the fourth wall.
I'm the guy that's in the black mask revealing all the magic tricks. This is how they saw a woman in half.
All right, also with us we have the Womble.
This is how we make you fuckers think it's live.
Wait, we have a caller.
She called last week when this was about pet care. Today we're talking about the elderly.
So hello, everybody.
Ryan Womble's with us. And then our extra special guest, Brian the Boogeyman Peterson.
Yeah, I'm not so frequent anymore. I seem to be here like more times than not anymore. But and if anybody didn't get the pet show reference, that was Mr. Show. And if you got it out there, pat yourself on the back because you're one of the three people in the world who saw Mr. Show.
Three?
Yeah.
There's two of them here. Who the hell else was there? All right, but we're back this week, and we've got a regular show as opposed to last week. We have all the segments and everything back. So we'll start off with what's fondling your console as everybody's favorites. And I'll start over here with the Boogeyman. I know he's got a lot that he needs to talk about.
My plate is full.
Again?
Again. What do I got? Well, thanks to Zero Tolerance, I got Flat Out, which is actually very, very excellent for the Xbox 360. Also playing Sega Rally, the game that Zero Tolerance hates.
Boo! Listen to my mind control!
You don't like it.
You don't like it. You will not, Jedi Mind Trick.
What else did I get this week? Got four games, actually. What the hell did I get?
Thrillville.
Oh, yeah, Thrillville. And if you like Roller Coaster Tycoon, then you'll like Thrillville. And, of course, the greatest first-person shooter of all time.
Here we go.
Half-Life 2. The Orange Box. And, of course, still playing. Well, Blue Dragon. Blue, like always.
Blue Dragon.
And, of course, awaiting the two new releases. At least I'm the only one waiting for at least one of them.
Beautiful Crapamari.
Oh, you just had like 40 million fanboys just turn off their freaking computers.
I don't care. I don't like rolling trash.
Wait.
I can make the other 250 million people turn off by going, fuck Halo 3.
They're just like, you don't crack. We don't have 400 million people listening to this show.
There ain't no way in hell 40 million people playing out
of Mario. I'm doing the Kenjin over-exaggeration.
It'd be more like, you just made the four people that are listening to this show turn off their computer.
Be honest with you, man. There's like 40 people listening to this program.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I
got 37 million listeners.
You don't even know. You don't even know!
I got 37 million people standing outside my door when I take a shower every morning.
Downloading all kinds of crazy demos. Been playing the SmackDown vs. Raw demo I got for pre-order. Downloaded Virtual Fighter. Haven't played it yet. I'll be playing that tonight sometime.
Yeah, I'll be talking about that here in a minute.
And I think that's it.
That's it?
For now.
That's it?
Is that all? I mean, damn.
I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but yeah. But Orange Box is the bomb. If you haven't bought it yet, you're just silly.
You're just silly.
Silly. Silly people.
Silly,
God.
Silly.
All right, so we'll move on to the Womble. You haven't been here in 2 weeks?
I haven't been here in 2 weeks, and guess what?
You haven't played shit.
I ain't played shit.
Can I take a
call? played some more. Wow. Played some more Halo. Not a whole lot, though, because I haven't really had a whole lot of time to play it. Played Puzzle Fighter HD. Which was pretty awesome. And mostly other than that, because it's Rocktober, I've been playing a lot of MLB The Show. It's playoff season. So, and then I fired up the old Xbox and played some Marvel vs. Capcom 2 the other day, too.
I finally got rid of my old Xbox just recently.
Did you?
I finally got rid of it because Justice League Heroes is backwards compatible now. And,
nice.
And I'm broke from all these games, so I needed something to buy the Orange Box with.
They need to make Marvel vs. Capcom backwards compatible.
It is.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
When did they make it backwards compatible?
When they made Justice League Heroes.
Fuck!
So you broke out the Xbox.
I broke out the old Xbox for nothing. Son of a bitch. I need
Which
to stay,
was that?
Stay more up
was
to
that
date.
The last one?
Yeah, it was the last one that came out. It had Justice League, had Marvel Capcom, a bunch of the Capcom Versus games,
yeah,
the King
okay,
of Fighters
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Oh, alright.
So it
nice.
Had a lot of stuff on there.
Well, that's good to know.
No Crazy Taxi still, because they don't love
Crazy Taxi!
That was one of the... Well, you know what, though? I'm glad I broke it out on the old Xbox anyway, because I've got the big,
Street
giant
Fighter
collector's
stick.
Edition Street Fighter arcade stick.
Yeah, that one's
very
still
well.
Sitting in a closet somewhere for me, because I don't have an Xbox now, so... Until they make an adapter.
New, Kung Fu Chaos, one of these decades.
One of these decades, we'll get to play Kung Fu Chaos
again. Yeah,
because
it is better than Heavenly Sword. So.
Oh!
Wow.
It's longer, that's for sure. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I didn't do
and
that.
And for anybody going, made... that's just a PS3 rip. No, because they developed Heavenly Sword for the uninformed out there.
So. You just made the other three people that were listening to the podcast turn off their computer.
They clicked on, like, here goes.
It's basically just us talking to each other.
They're probably like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he's right.
Sick burn. So does that pretty much wrap it up?
Mm-hmm. That pretty much wraps it up.
All right, so we'll move on to Mr. Khan. What have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing? I've been playing some PSP.
Some PSP.
Yeah, some PSP.
That's what I played the show on. I forgot to mention.
Excellent. Yeah,
anyway,
I picked...
Sorry.
Oh, that's
Didn't
okay.
Didn't mean to derail you there.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, dude. Input's cool. I picked up one of the new PSP Slims.
Yes,
I got the... The Star Wars edition.
With Darth Vader on the back?
Yeah, the one that was introduced by Chewie at E3 this year.
It wasn't really Chewie.
It was?
It was an imposter.
Wait, what?
What? He's dead. He died like 10 years ago.
No, he didn't.
I was trying to refer to Chewbacca as if he was real, okay? Not the guy in the suit.
Not the guy in
the suit. Damn it, you ruined the joke again.
Oh,
say,
man.
He was talking to Olivia Munn not too long ago. Olivia Munn.
Well, we got way...
Continue on.
Yeah, continue on. Yes.
We picked up a PSP. Slim PSP with the Star Wars Battlefront from GameStop.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry,
I did.
A shameless plug on that one, too.
And I must say, it was like freaking Christmas. I already have, like, 6-7 games before I even had the system, so...
So what do you think of the Slim PSP?
I like it.
Is it nicer than the small or the older style? I mean, what makes it different?
Well, the of course the weight and the slimness is instantly noticeable.
That's what she said.
Hey now.
But
our first thinly veiled sexual reference.
What about
of the show?
Like button placement, analog stick?
I thought you were gonna say what about butt placement?
Our second thinly veiled sexual reference of the show.
I must say that I think the buttons are like perfect, whereas like on the earlier PSP, the original PSP, like the square button kind of had like a slanted feel when you'd push it down.
Well, it's because it rubbed against the screen.
Yeah, I mean. The new slim one doesn't even have that. Hmm. All four buttons feel identical, and they said that, you know, it has longer battery life, but
I thought they said it had shorter battery life. I thought I was reading somebody saying that it actually had shorter battery life.
They're touting that
that's
it has
tough
longer
to do.
Battery life.
So. I know it's really. I mean, can you even play a game on it? You boot
exactly.
it up, it's like battery dead.
Hell, you know what? My battery's probably dead just because I haven't played it in a week or two.
That's true. So
that's
well.
The thing. It dies when you're not playing it. Sad.
From what I've played this week, I gather about an average between 3.5 to 4 hours worth of gameplay. If you're watching a movie, probably about 2 hours. If you're just, you know, on a menu doing all eternal, like if you're doing like memory management or whatnot, that probably lasts you about 6 hours.
It's about the same.
So yeah. It's about the same as the original PSP, and the games I've been playing on it are Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts. Oh, I'm sorry, Ghosts and Goblins.
Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins?
Yes. Fantastic. Must buy. It's great.
What else?
It captures the heart of the arcade.
Well, you got 6 games to go through here, so.
Oh, I've only played like four of them.
Okay. But, Star Wars?
That's what I want to know.
I have yet to even put it in.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That will be...
It comes with the system that he paid the extra money
yes,
for.
Exactly. It came with the system. And I got a little gripe about that, too. But I'll get to that after I talk about the games. Let me see. What else? Final Fantasy Remake for PSP. What's that?
The Tactics? Or
the original Final Fantasy. And I must say, best version of Final Fantasy ever. It's like all HD graphics completely redone. It like glows. The graphics just like come out of the screen.
Best remake version of Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy game ever.
You're right. It's the best remake.
3/6 is the best.
3/6.
3/6.
What region
you're in.
But
yeah, you know what my favorite one is.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's okay.
Mystic Quest.
That's right. I forgot they made that one.
And that was not even a hint of sarcasm.
That was not a hint of sarcasm.
Probably like Crystal Chronicles, too.
I hate Final Fantasy. That's why the only one I ever liked was Mystic Quest.
It's terrible.
Super Nintendo, baby.
But, yeah, Final Fantasy Remake, excellent. Other game I've been playing, Monster Hunter.
How is that? Because I've been wanting to pick it up, so...
Okay, here it is. Imagine, if you will, a combination of Phantasy Star Online intermixed with Metal Gear Solid, and then triple the complexity of the gameplay.
In a world.
In other words, I've been playing it for 2 hours, and I still don't even really have an idea of what I'm doing.
That's a great game. What the fuck am I doing?
I'm still perplexed by the mix of Metal Gear and Phantasy Star Online. Like I'm just picturing Snake chasing after one of those big chicken things from Phantasy Star Online.
I'm picturing the guy with the lightsaber standing up on a wall knocking on the door. Hello. See an enemy. Dude. The little exclamation point comes up over his head.
It does have some stealth elements to it.
RPG elements.
You can actually sneak up on certain animals, but it's got a really significant learning curve.
I've heard it's pretty tough.
It is extremely tough. You can tell that it was made for multiplayer.
Gotcha.
So playing it single player, it's like an uphill battle to say the least. I mean. I start like attacking like a velociraptor, and
which is the first thing I would do as well. So.
And that's like one of the first enemies you encounter in the game, and like all of a sudden three more just like jump right at me and
just like in Jurassic Park, man. That
exactly,
movie was real.
And the thing is,
what you should have had was a little. You know, little girl coming doing some spin flip off a freaking pole and
oh, here
the
we go!
Oh god, the Lost World reference.
They kicked you off gymnastics.
Clever. Yeah, they kicked you off the team.
As the whole world remembers that and groans.
Yeah, but and the thing is, it's funny that you mentioned that because the game does remind me of Jurassic Park with swords. So.
I'd be scared by so just Jurassic Park with just a sword.
So is it a game you're just running?
Running? I'll put it this way. Running is also a big part of the game where they're chasing you. You're being chased by, like, freaking giant dinosaurs. Yeah, you're running. It's pretty cool, though. But I can honestly say that as a multiplayer game, I can easily see it being, like, extremely addictive. But because of it's so deep and the opening cinema actually shows a scene where one of the characters is like going up to one of the monsters and having the monster chase him, so he's like bait for the other players to attack the monster. So I kind of think that that's going to play in the game, so you can have like teamwork and, you know, be like, okay, how can we take this dragon out? You know, I mean. So, yeah, Monster Hunter. Get either the first one or second one, because it's not really story-driven, but it's gameplay-driven, It's awesome.
Speaking cool. of Monster Hunter, the only reason I want to mention is because I didn't see it on your News Quickies thing, but Capcom announced that Monster Hunter 3 is
yes.
a Wii exclusive rather than a PlayStation 3 game, which it was originally
It's very interesting considering that it's an online, really dominant game. That's why it's so popular.
Yeah.
Well, you just use your friends' codes.
Well, do you want to play together? I got 16 digits.
The thing yeah. is, Monster Hunter is a huge series in Japan.
And that's probably why.
Yeah,
the
install base of the Wii is so big in Japan that they imagine they'll probably sell ridiculous
amounts. Instead of just putting
of
it on the PS2, they put it on the Wii because right. it's the next best-selling
right.
system in
exactly.
Japan.
Exactly. Exactly.
That
Which
makes
is
sense.
Which smart business move.
It is. It's just going to be weird people trying to play online
right.
on the Wii. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think that will attract a lot of... especially a lot of the Japanese players.
I am interested, though, to see how they use the Wii controls for a game like that, because it seems like it would be, I don't know, kind of custom-made for controls like that, with a lot of swords and that
I don't
kind
know.
Of thing.
I don't
waggle
know.
Traps.
Waggle traps.
Yeah, you can even set traps in the game. I haven't delved into that yet.
That's right.
It's a trap! But,
so what else you been playing on your PSP?
Jeanne d'Arc. Strategy...
Jeanne d'Arc.
Yeah. For the uninitiated, it's the story of Joan of Arc. And
so she's French now, apparently.
She yeah.
Jeanne d'Arc?
Well, she is
She was French before.
Not yeah. in my book. She was Mia
wrong.
Jovovich in the movie.
Yeah, Mia Jovovich.
Terrible. Or Lili Zobieski in another movie.
I don't
yes.
even know who the hell that is.
Yes.
Yeah, she's that... girl that was popular for like
12
two
minutes.
Movies and then she fell off the face of the earth.
But anyway, Jeanne d'Arc's a really good game. It's is actually getting me interested in historical events. I'll just put you this.
Video games learning you, huh?
Yeah, and it's crazy too because there's like demons in the game, which I'm not totally for sure that's historically accurate. And what's even crazier is that it portrays King Harry the Sixth.
Harry King.
It portrays him. He's like 6 years old, right? He gets possessed by a demon in the very beginning of the game.
This is almost as good as the plot line to Blood Rain 2 where Billy the Kid is a vampire.
But no, I mean, I'm serious. The game, I'm like 4 hours into it, and the storyline and the way it's presented, it's presented in anime cutscenes. A lot of the like story you see is anime, and it was done by... company called Production IG, which is the same animation company that did the animation for the Ghost in the Shell movies.
Ah.
So
lots of CGI in their anime?
No, it's all like hand-drawn. It's like exquisitely hand-drawn, like very fluid, and it's like some of the best cinema I've ever seen in any portable device.
I remember reading my history books where Joan of Arc used to wrestle demons.
Yeah,
demons.
But yeah, that's my PSP plan, and on Xbox,
You're playing Yaris.
I played Yaris. Yeah, I played Yaris, and I must say, even though it's a terrible game, I thought it was a good idea.
It was free.
It was free. I saw where they were trying to go with the game, how it was like almost like a Geometry Wars while you're racing at the same time, but you're not even racing.
It was like the guy from Geometry Wars threw up on a racetrack is really what it is.
Well,
so
yeah,
terrible.
It was. It was terrible, but I'll say this. You could tell there was some good ideas, but it was terrible execution.
Yeah, it was really terrible execution, and it makes me like scared for the rest of the free games, because you get the top of the line with Aegiswing. And then you get this.
Yeah.
You get this horrible game. I mean, it's so bad.
But
it's
then
free, and I want my money back.
But then you also had Totem Bowl. They used the motion camera.
Totem Bowl was terrible.
It was free, too, when it first came out.
Right, and it was terrible.
Oh, it is bad. It was bad.
I played 5 minutes of Totem Bowl.
Yeah, that's about how
and
long.
And I wanted to kill myself.
You had the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... That thing didn't work.
Yeah, well, and it was the only thing I ever... That and Rainbow Six were the only things I've ever used that camera for.
You
it
and
just
me
sits
both.
On top of my television.
Yeah, you and me. And I did a video chat once to see how it worked. That was it. I'm like,
don't
no.
lie. You played Naked Uno.
You saw me, didn't you?
No.
Don't lie.
Suffering from tired kitty muscles.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But, yeah, I've also played the demo of Conan. And, yeah.
We're going to talk about this because, you know, it's... And these two guys will tell you it's terrible. That it's absolutely terrible. I don't think it's terrible, but at the same time, I don't think it's worth $60.
It's very mediocre.
It's very mediocre. It is a hack and slash, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing else to
it. You can tell they were trying to copy off of God of War, but they
extremely tried to copy off of God of War, because you got the dodge on the right analog stick. And
yeah. But they screwed up on level design. The level design was terrible.
See, I like the kills, though. I love the combat. I really like that, like, when you can do the special move and chop off both of their arms at the same time.
Or yeah.
Take off their... I mean, I like the combat. I like the game. When it goes down in price, I'll buy it, but I'm not going to spend $60 on it.
Yeah, the thing is, I've been reading the Conan Dark Horse comic books lately, and I've been getting into the whole universe of Conan, and I was disappointed with the demo. I was expecting something a little bit better. I wasn't expecting something a lot better, but I was expecting something that was at least kind of as good as God of War.
Well,
but
like I said, when it drops about $30, I will buy it because I love those kind of games.
I think I probably will as well when it gets down
and
to about
30. Is it just me, or is Ron Perlman the voice of Conan? I play the demo, I'm like, jeez, is that Ron Perlman? Is he, like, in every video game now? He was in Halo 3, he was in Justice League Heroes. I'm like, is he Conan, too? It sounded just like him.
It did sound just like him, man. I don't know. We have to check. But the last game I played was Virtual Fighter 5 demo. Played it through all the way with all the selectable characters.
You played the arcade mode?
Yeah,
I think we should talk about this for a little bit because obviously this is kind of an important release for it being online, but it looked just as good as the PS3 version. I really think it did, and I'm impressed by that because the PS3 version looked really good. So what I don't like is the loading.
The loading?
Loading in between fights. That's one thing I'll give the PS3 on this one, is that once you installed it to the hard drive, there was really no load time.
Uh-huh.
But in the 360 version, you notice there's a loading screen.
Yes.
In between each fight, and that's kind of takes you out of it a little bit.
I downloaded mine onto my hard drive, so I probably won't notice the difference then, right?
What, the PS3 version? You didn't download it to your hard drive? I don't know, because I never saw it without it being downloaded to the hard drive, but there is a little loading screen with Akira doing a little motion as it loads in between each fight. And he gets through it 3 or 4 times before it loads up, so it's significant.
Maybe they'll shorten that up.
I hope so. I do. The way it played great. You can use
the thing is, I don't remember loading screens when I played it at the show.
That's interesting, because in the demo, there's a loading screen in between each fight. It's just a little one down at the bottom, and it is annoying.
But that doesn't really make sense. It's hard drive. It's not even reading from a disc.
It still doesn't matter, because it's still compressed.
Yeah.
So it still has to load some parts of the game.
I don't know what her load that demo was in, because, like I said, I that's something I definitely would have noticed when I was at the show.
Oh, yeah.
I played, like, 3 or 4 fights.
You noticed it in the demo, because you're like, loading? What? In a fighting game? You know? It's like,
But I must say that I really enjoyed it.
It plays really good with the analog or the D-pad, even though the D-pad for the 360 sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a little while to get used to, and I think I actually like the analog stick better, even though it's not as...
Yeah, I'll explain it with the analog stick.
But I have a DOA fighting stick, so I'll be using that.
Oh, snap.
360's D-pad sucks.
So the 360's D-pad sucks ass.
It does.
It does.
So, you know. But it was still really good. I mean, I'm excited because we can actually play online now. That's huge.
Provided it doesn't lag.
DOA lags, but it was still playable. So, as long as it's not any worse than DOA's lag, you know, I can deal with that. Not like any of us are master Virtua Fighter players anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, does that pretty much wrap it up for you?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, since most of mine got hit on the way around, I don't need to talk about some of them. I don't need to talk about Conan. We already talked about that. I'm playing Thrillville, too. I'm really liking it. It's different. Like, have you played the career mode at all?
A little bit.
Like, having to go around and bribe people in order to give your part good reviews. I mean, there's a lot of micromanagement.
Yeah.
It looks like a kid's game, but it's really not. It's not a kid's game at all. Playing Spider-Man Friend or Foe for review. I don't hate it. It is what it is. It's a kid's version of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That's exactly what it is. It's very simple. There's very little micromanagement, and it's just a button masher. I mean, I don't recommend, you know, like, you guys go out and pick it up. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Right.
But for little kids, they're going to eat it up. I mean, it's easy, it's simple, and it's fun. So, and it's co-op on the same screen, so it's not bad. Orange Box, we already talked about. I am playing that. Portal is the greatest thing ever.
Absolutely. Beat it yet?
No, I still haven't beat it. I love Portal, though. It's just...
Portal is the bomb.
Portal is awesome.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I heard that it had really good writing.
It's funny. It's genuinely funny, which is hard to do in a game, but it is genuinely funny.
Like I said, the only thing I'm wondering, I haven't beat the initial 19 stages either, but I'm kind of curious how much more challenging the advanced stages are. Because
I'm really looking forward to the advanced.
Because the 19 stages, I mean, they last so far, the last two or three, I'm on like 16 right now. The last two or three were pretty difficult, but nothing that wouldn't take me a little bit to figure out. And I'm just like, I'm hoping there's a major, major challenge in the advanced ones, just because, I mean, I know it's just an afterthought of a box set, but still be kind of nice to have a little bit of depth to it.
So what Portal does is it makes you hope for what they're going to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so freaking cool the way it works. And it works perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And the last few maps are pretty freaking hard. I mean, I spent an hour in one of them just kind of toying around with what I could do because it's so big. But so far, I think that's my favorite part of the Orange Box, sad as it is. And I love Half-Life 2. I mean, it's a great game. Team Fortress, I don't know. I mean, it's very simple. Like, every map is designed for its own game type.
Right.
So the map will only be Capture the Flag. Or another map will only be Capture the Intelligence. And you can't play any other version of the game on that map. But Valve has said free downloadable content.
Yep.
So, hopefully more maps for Team Fortress and more challenges for Portal. That'd be awesome.
Interesting.
But the last one I'm going to talk about, and I'm the only one that got to play it, was Guitar Hero 3. I got to play that this week.
Play it at halftime, bitch.
Got to play that this week, and I have to say that all those people worried about Neversoft screwing up this franchise, you just need to stop now. Because this game is... If you took Guitar Hero 2 and you fixed everything that you thought was wrong with it, this is it. It hammer-ons and pull-offs work great. It plays well with the old guitar, because I'm having to play it with the other 360 guitar. Hard is now basically expert, and expert is basically ridiculous.
Ludicrous speed.
Nice.
It is insane. I was failing the Tenacious D song 8% in on expert.
Wow.
I mean, it is hard. I failed Rock Me Like a Hurricane in the intro solo. I mean, it is hard. So, hard is now basically a tame version of expert. But expert is just sick.
So, hard's like the top three tiers of expert kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like, it's not as hard as like Megadeth, right, towards the end of Expert in Guitar Hero 2, but it's more along the lines of the middle tier of Hard, or of Expert on the Guitar Hero 2, so. And it's fun. I mean, all the songs, even Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot was fun. So, I'm really excited about it, and it's really good.
I bet that one's
easy.
There's
no Peter Frampton. It's upsetting.
I know.
I gotta say, though, that set list has me excited. Because it's just so much diversity, like on Guitar Hero 2.
I'd love
like,
to have like a 13-minute version of Feel Like You Do.
Well, you do get the Devil Went Down. You do get the Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Nice.
The metal version of the Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh man,
it's the finale song.
That's ridiculous.
That's so awesome.
Yep. And there's a co-op exclusive songs like Red Hot Chili Peppers is a co-op exclusive. So is Blue Oyster Cult is a.
Which Blue Oyster Cult song?
Oh, the Cowbell song.
Yeah, the Cowbells.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't Fear the Reaper?
No, it's not Don't Fear the Reaper. That's Rock Band.
Oh, really?
It's I can't think of the name of it.
Burning For You?
Even if you said it, I probably wouldn't remember. I just know that it's a co-op exclusive song.
They need to have
Godzilla. They have three popular songs. Burning For You, Don't Fear the Reaper, and Godzilla. But Godzilla's already been done.
Godzilla's already been done. I don't know what this one is. I just know that you can only get to it. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That like some of the songs are locked except for a co-op campaign.
Yeah, that does.
And that kind of sucks because if you don't have two guitars, you're never gonna play those songs, you know.
Right.
So, but it is really, really good. So, No fear.
No fear.
That pretty much wraps up, I think. Yeah, I did play Yaris, but, you know, whatever.
Yaris.
We're going to move on to the news, so welcome back.
I'm back.
So,
Biatches.
He's back. He's the man behind the mask.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that music video. Friday the 13th.
Docking.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Halloween.
He's over there, like, getting ready to do it. And
now.
Oh, my God.
News for Gamers, Internet-style radio program proudly brings to you News Quickies. Brought to you by Fat Tony, who would like to remind you that you didn't see nothing, you son of a bitch. And if you squeal to the cops, I'll cut your nuts off. Now with the news, zero tolerance.
Wow. Okay.
I told yeah.
you not to speak of what I do in my spare time.
Well, it appears the news is about 50-50 good and bad this week.
Well, that's a good mix.
About 50-50?
Doesn't get much better than that.
First, at least it's dramatic.
It is dramatic. First bad news, Nintendo Wii fans am cry. As Super Smash Bros. Brawl is delayed until 2008.
Ouch.
So
that sucks.
But
February.
They did add Sonic.
So that takes an extra 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. What they need to do, they need
He's fast, well, man. It's a blast processing.
The thing is, I think their big problem is they got to make sure they expand their servers because there's so many Wii consoles out there, and they need to make sure they've got enough friends codes to go out there with.
The numbers would be
Can't
staggering.
Get away without making a Wii joke about the friend codes. It's terrible.
Fuck the Wii.
Wow.
That's all I got to say.
Wow. Nobody's going to accuse you of being a Nintendo fanboy.
No, definitely not. It is sad that it happened.
It is sad, because I've got a Wii that I haven't played since WarioWare came out.
You need to get MLB.
So, no, since Paper Mario came out.
You need to get MLB Power Pros.
Is it awesome?
It's awesome. I played it yesterday for the PS2.
Then why didn't you say that? And then what's fondling your console section?
Because I totally forgot about it until you said that.
Gosh.
So anyway.
But
yeah,
no.
it's really, really... It's got season mode and everything.
Nice.
And you can incorporate your Mii, so like you and Alex can beat the crap out of like the Yankees. Oh, Aaron, you like the Yankees.
Sorry. Shut up.
We're totally off topic here.
anyway.
But, yeah, so...
You're disappointed?
I'm disappointed, very disappointed, because
you still
I really
got Mario
wasn't.
This year.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but,
unless that gets delayed.
I mean, I'd really like as much stuff to play on the, you know, $250 machine that I purchased.
Carnival games, man.
Yeah. What about Cosmic games? Party or
you can only play,
too?
You can only play Wii Sports so much.
Dewey the Water Drop game.
True that.
Yes.
We'll move on to some more bad
That's
news.
That's AAA.
Which Mr. Boogeyman doesn't agree with this is bad news, but EA buys BioWare and Pandemic.
The only reason I don't agree, ladies and gentlemen, is because I don't have EA as a contact, so anything that they bring out is free.
That's okay if you're getting free Mass Effect 2008.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's disappointing.
I'm very upset about this, and I think it's because it's Activision has started buying a lot of companies, so now EA's got to like keep up ahead of them or whatever.
Right.
And I talked about this, and I brought this up. It scares me to think, and you know, I don't want to start internet drivel here, but is Microsoft leaving the console business? Bungie, Bizarre, and now BioWare? They just let them go.
And Blizzard.
I mean, yeah. And just let them go. And no fight, no nothing. Three of their biggest first-party games come from BioWare, Bungie, and Bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre is now making games for Activision, so they'll be on all systems. BioWare is now making games for EA, so they'll be on all systems. And Bungie is now independent, so they can do whatever the hell they want.
Right. Well, they're independent, but they said that they're still going to continue their publishing relationship with Microsoft.
This is true,
so.
Which the Bungie-Microsoft divorce, the Bungie said we wouldn't see anything different. But this
right.
also means that they can make the game
right.
for multiple consoles. And we were talking about this last week. If Halo goes multi-console, this is not going to do anything but hurt Xbox and help gamers.
Yeah, Halo can't go multi-console because... Bungie doesn't own the rights to it.
True,
Microsoft
but what
does.
If Microsoft doesn't, you know, Bungie doesn't make the next Halo?
No.
And, you know, you're looking at a game that used to be top tier, but is now, you know, made by what?
I still think Bungie will
Rockstar
do Halo
San Diego.
Exclusively for Xbox.
Well, they have to make it exclusive because it's the Microsoft
Halo.
Still owns
yeah, Microsoft
the rights.
Owns the rights to Halo.
But right. I just want to make sure that Bungie... is still making that game.
And, of course, you know, spoiler alert.
Don't
just
wait,
like
wait. If it's spoiler alert about Halo 3, don't say it.
All right. Never
mind. You had to stop.
Yeah.
See, everybody in this room knows but you.
Yeah, well, I haven't. I'm on the last level, but
okay.
I've been a busy little bee lately, so haven't had time to finish
stay it. Stay away from the internets.
I will stay away from the internets.
But that's, so. It's, and but the thing is, Microsoft didn't own the Mass Effect IP.
Right.
So, that's owned by BioWare.
Yeah, and you know, BioWare and Pandemic are two of my favorite studios, and it kind of disappoints me, but, you know, as long as EA still allows them to maintain some semblance of creative freedom.
Well, we'll see when their first EA published game comes out.
Here's my rebuttal to your disappointment with EA doing BioWare. Oh, goodness, where do I start? Well, I'll just make it quick and simple. Basically, it's a good thing. And the reason I say that is because I don't know how many people I sell games to when I'm like, you looking forward to Mass Effect? And they're like, what the fuck is Mass Effect? And you know what? You know what EA does? It gets them freaking on the map. It gets them advertising dollars. It will get them more exposure and get games that are so good out there. It's not necessarily that EA is going to take control and overlook them like some kind of freaking, you know, slave owner or something. No, you need to make this game better. No, but they're going to be, you know, it's just going to give them more outlook. People's going to recognize these titles because of EA's names.
But the
thing, look at Orange Box. You know what? I guarantee Orange Box would never have sold as much as it did if it wasn't for EA. And that's because they advertised the shit out of it on TV.
See, I don't agree with that because that's, because Valve and EA have a very different relationship. Valve actually still controls everything. And it's kind of funny because we'll talk about this in the next story about right. Valve, but the PS3 version of Orange Box, the reason why it's not out yet is it's not being made by Valve. It's actually
right.
being made by
externally.
An EA company.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, we'll see if, you know, if it's as good as the PC and 360 versions. But also, Valve has their own fan base, and the Orange Box is going to sell on that. But with BioWare and their promotional stuff, it'll be just like BioShock, where it's not necessarily the advertising that sells it, but it's just that
word of mouth.
Like, well, look at Knights of the Old Republic from BioWare. Look,
Jade Empire
we won't talk much about
word
because it didn't do...
I have to disagree. Word of mouth did not sell BioShock.
You really don't think it did?
No,
the 10 out of 10 reviews and...
That didn't hurt it any, but more people came in and bought it because they said, man, I saw the commercial for it, I had to buy it. Remember, you know, I'm literally hands-on with this, and that's, I would say, 9 out of 10 people who got BioShock was because they saw the commercial for it and was like, I gotta have this game.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, Mass Effect was BioWare and it was Microsoft, so they were gonna promote the shit out of it anyway.
Right.
And that's the thing with BioWare is they've always been under Microsoft, so their games have always gotten that. So it's not like with EA they're gonna get more. Because you know Microsoft pushed the hell out of BioWare games.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of.
Especially Knights.
Knights of the Old Republic, they blistered the world with that game.
But yeah. That, I mean, that had to been, that had the bonus, too, of having
Wars.
A Star Wars license behind it, too.
Well,
but,
yeah.
I mean, to me, I agree with you to an extent that the having EA... I think that having EA as publisher is a great idea for them if EA...
It's
takes a hands-off approach
right.
and just lets them make their own game and then publishes
it. So basically you're saying if EA is the deep pockets for BioWare to sink their hands
yeah,
into.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as the EA is to BioWare what EA is to Valve,
right.
I'm fine.
Exactly.
I'm fine with
but
that.
But if EA starts trying to turn BioWare into, you know,
a one game a year
EA
company.
North,
yeah,
I'm going to be very disappointed.
I will be very
upset about
that.
Same with Pandemic, too, because Pandemic makes fantastic games. And if EA backs off and allows them to make the games the way they want to, then I'm fine with it. But if
it makes you wonder about the Battlefront series now, because Pandemic made the Battlefront
right.
series. It's owned by LucasArts, but Pandemic is now owned by EA. So
right.
are you going to get a new developer for Battlefront? That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So
but
I don't know.
Who knows?
Beepin'! We'll move on to the next news story, which is very close related to what we were just talking about. Valve's head man, head honcho, Gabe Newell, has been on the record again to trash the PS3.
You know what?
Before you comment, I want to read his quote.
Go ahead.
He says, and I quote, "I think the PS3 is a waste of everybody's time. Investing in the cell, investing in the SPE gives you no long-term benefits. There's nothing that you're going to gain, or wait, There's nothing, you're not going to gain anything except a hatred of the architecture they've created. I don't think that they're going to make money off their box. I don't think it's a good solution.
You know what? I respect Gabe Newell for his contributions, and I understand where he's coming from with this quote, because he's basically saying, you know, I can't, any experience you gain on the PS3, you can only use that experience to develop another PS3 game, because it's so different than the 360 or the PC. But you know what? Who fucking listens to Gabe Newell anymore? Because the guy trashes everything.
He does. He trashes Microsoft.
He's like one of those gamer geeks that comes into a video game store and just blasts on everything that he sees. He's serious. I can't believe you're buying that. That game's crap. You shouldn't buy that. That's terrible.
You should buy the
orange
box.
That either. It's terrible. Exactly. You know, so to me, who listens to him anymore?
Nobody, but it always makes news every time he does this, because he's so vocal against the PS3. And it's funny because his baby is coming out on the PS3
right,
in like
exactly.
a week.
Right,
exactly. So that really makes me laugh. So, you know.
You know what? You made a fantastic game. Fantastic game. What?
Three, four years ago? Yeah.
You've now released two expansion packs, a puzzle spinoff, and a subpar, well, I shouldn't say subpar, a mediocre multiplayer game, all off of that license. And you know what? The Half-Life 2 is incredible. But you know what? It comes a point where if you bitch about enough stuff, nobody's going to listen to you anymore.
Cry wolf enough times.
Exactly. I mean, he's bitched about the 360. He's bitched about the PlayStation 3.
He's bitched about Windows.
He's bitched. Yeah, he hates Vista.
Hates Vista. He only supports Linux.
Yeah.
Only supports Linux. Like, so it's
like, come on, man. Just find something you like and talk about it for once.
We understand you're smart.
Other than Half-Life.
Yeah, we understand you're smart. It's okay. You don't have to bash other things to make yourself feel
exactly.
smarter.
Exactly. So there's my Gabe Newell rant.
Your Gabe Newell rant?
Like I said, I respect the hell out of the guy for Half-Life because it's incredible, but it comes a time when you just gotta
let go.
Yeah.
But we'll move on to some happy news. I'm going to get into happy news.
Happy news.
Time Splitters 4 has been confirmed.
Nice.
According to Free Radical's website, they are making a Time Splitters 4, which is the absolutely most hilarious Flash movie I've ever seen. Have you seen it yet? Basically shows the helmet that looks like Master Chief's helmet, and it starts panning up, and it's a monkey. The monkey from Time Splitters holding the helmet in his arm. Woo! It's awesome.
Nice.
So, question
Time Splitters has always been good about that. They've always been good about parodying other shooters and throwing some humor in there. So
question is, though, what's it coming to? After Haze going PS3 exclusive and Free Radical developed Haze, where's Time Splitters going?
It's a good question.
It all depends on how well Haze sells.
Probably.
Yeah, that's it right there.
So, I don't think with Time Splitters' popularity that they're going to want to go one console. Especially not the one that has the least install base.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Time Splitters on the Wii.
It'll look like asshole, but I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they put it
and
on there.
And they'll use the Wii Blaster.
The Wii Blaster, okay.
A $20 harness for your controllers. Stupid people
docking
out there.
Station. All right, next up, 360 holiday bundles were announced. And this is a kick-ass deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
You buy a 360 this holiday, you get two free games. Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which there's probably like 6 million copies of that sitting in a warehouse.
Right, right.
But you still get it for free. It's a great game.
And this next one is the bomb.
And Forza 2.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, that's a great game to bundle.
So you get an RPG, action RPG, and a racing game right out of the box, which is like their demographic. So I mean that's huge. So you get two free great games. It's not like we're getting crap again like Tetris and the Star Wars Clone Wars.
Oh god, that was terrible. At least you know they did come out with the initially the Xbox came out with the Jet Set Radio
Sega GT
bundle. Which
that was a
nice
bundle.
That was.
But I think with the price drop, the new arcade SKU, and these two free games, there's going to be a lot of 360 sold this holiday.
Right.
I mean, it's a great deal, especially with the Red Ring stuff finally starting to dissipate a little bit.
Yeah, starting to clear up a little
bit.
Yeah,
with the new system, so. And the last piece of news we have, I know it makes you excited and angry at the same time, but Tim Schafer, the maker of Psychonauts, Mr. Wombat's favorite game of all time, is making a new game.
Woohoo!
It's called Brutal Legend. It will be debuted in next month's Game Informer. It stars Jack Black.
Boo! Boo, Tim Schafer, boo.
I really don't... I guess we'll have to wait till the article comes out to see what kind of game it is, but he said it was going to be more like his old school adventure games, so...
Which is good, but I just... Like Jack Black, come on. Seriously? Come on.
Like what?
Like, well, like Day of the Tentacle and stuff like that.
Day of the Tentacle.
More like...
Oh my God.
What?
You didn't like Day of the Tentacle?
Oh, I'm just...
He's making fun of the name.
Yeah, I'm having anime flashbacks.
Oh,
God, that's
scary.
Gross.
All right, we're going to skip over that.
Yeah, we're going to just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad to see Schafer making another game. I knew that there was no chance of Psychonauts 2 because he hates sequels, and Psychonauts 1 sold like 3 copies. I'm not so happy about the Jack Black thing.
It could be alright, though.
It could be good.
It's Tim Schafer.
Yeah.
I mean, has he ever really made a bad game?
I'm sure the game will be good. I'll just be annoyed by the main character the whole time.
What if it looks like Jack Black? Like,
that's going to be even... Like,
what if it's like his identical likeness?
If it's just his voice, I'll be okay with it. But if it's like Jack Black as the main character...
Run around in his Angus Young uniform.
I
want to be the teacher's pet!
I will break a guitar over his head.
As long as he didn't try to push any buttons with his penis, I'm fine.
As long as he doesn't try and be a Chris Farley wannabe. Oh, wait a minute. That's his entire career.
I guess I'm the only one that actually finished watching The Pick of Destiny.
I'm sorry.
To get the penis button joke.
God, that movie's terrible.
Oh, poor Jack Black. Anyway.
Pretty bad when Tenacious D got the takeoff and Mr. Show just kind of fell into oblivion.
See, that's his vendetta against Jack Black.
That's where his Jack Black vendetta comes from. Mine comes from because I hate him. I think he's annoying. And I think he's a terrible actor.
All right.
But enough about Jack Black.
Enough about
Jack.
We're talking enough about Jack Black.
A lot of hatred here.
We're gonna come back to this
segment.
I'm like
Gabe Newell over here.
You are. But we're going to kick the online updates. Xbox 360 this week got 2 arcade games. We already talked about Yaris. It's free. There's always a collective laugh going on when you talk about Yaris. And Puzzle Quest, which is the RPG/puzzle game.
1,200
points. 1,200 points, but if at the same time you think about it, it's a deal. Because it's on the PSP and the DS for
$30. Yeah.
So, and it's a really good game.
It's really good. Yeah. It's probably the first game to actually warrant the $1,200.
$1,200?
$1,200! Oh my God!
Microsoft has brainwashed
me
to the point.
You think Robo Blitz was worth it?
Was it $1,200?
I think it was.
Damn.
It was expensive, but thankfully I got that bitch for free because that game was terrible.
I like Robo Blitz.
Oh,
God. Terrible. 1,200 points for Puzzle Quest. Also, demos this week you had Virtua Fighter 5, which we talked about. Conan, which we talked about. Fear Files, Extraction Point, which if you have not finished the first game, do not play this demo. It starts off immediately at the ending, and you get to see part of the ending to the freaking game when you boot it up. So don't play that. Unless you beat the first one.
Now, answer me this.
Riddle me this.
Riddle me this, Batman!
God, we're geeks.
Fear Files. Is it coming along with the original Fear?
No. It has 2 expansion packs.
And that's it?
Yep.
Damn it.
Not the original Fear. So.
No, I'm not buying it then. Not for $60.
It's 50.
No, it's $59.99.
It's $49.99 on your website.
I still wouldn't buy it for $49.99.
I would. It's a great game.
I'm sure it is, but you know, Orangebox gives you freaking...
Oh, here we go.
Hey,
I'm not going to buy a single game anymore. I'm only going to buy ones that come with 5. Well, you can really call Portal an expansion pack. And
the expansion pack's only $20 a piece on the PC, so why am I paying 50 for 2?
Because it's on the 360?
Whatever.
Go play it on your PC then.
It's the achievements.
Here we go.
The achievements add extra value.
Into the achievements. PGR4 demo also showed up. If you haven't played it, you should. It's a good game. And the Simpsons game demo showed up this week, which it's good. I mean,
it's good.
I like it.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
PSN, you get Everyday Shooter, which is really cool. It's $10.
Everyday Shooter.
Think Geometry Wars, but
musically.
Right. Okay.
Musically inclined, and it was developed by one guy, and it's got a really cool visual.
When's that weird stick figure puzzle game coming out for the PSN?
I have no idea. I don't think they have Echo Chrome.
Yeah.
I don't think they have like a schedule for the PSN. It just kind of Everyday Shooter was supposed to show up like a month ago, and it's just now showing up. So.
Yeah.
I want Pain though. I'm sorry, but that sick and twisted stuff just
Pain.
Launching a guy into traffic or into old ladies.
Oh.
That's awesome. Also, the Ratchet and Clank demo showed up. So yeah. Go check that out if you're a fan. Conan demo also. And NHL 2K8.
I wonder if the Conan demo is any better on PSN.
It's the same game.
Yeah.
It's got six axes.
Yeah. It uses the cell processor to its utmost delight.
All right. Virtual console this week. It was a Neo Geo week. Fatal Fury for the Neo Geo, 900 points.
World Heroes
for the Neo Geo, 900 points.
Man, I used to pump so many quarters into World Heroes. That was an awesome game.
Well, it's on Virtual Console now, and you don't have to pump any quarters.
It was like Street Fighter's retarded little brother.
It's like Street
Super
Farter.
Super Gas Edition. Street Farter. And then the last one is Art of Fighting. For the Neo Geo. Fart to fight. You need a bunch of fart jokes now. God, that's terrible.
Downhill. Downhill.
That's way downhill. I don't even know what happened to this podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Nintendo conference that just happened. Lots of big stuff coming out of there, including the Smash Brothers delay. We're going to talk about a forum topic, which is Capcom's big announcement and people's guesses as to what it's going to be, which happens today, the 15th, tomorrow, whatever. Breaking
Whenever
the fourth wall
this,
again.
She already broke the fucking fourth wall. So.
I already broke it. And then we're going to go into a new preview to review, obviously. We've got that coming up. And with all the recent 10 scores, we're going to talk about, because there's a lot of discussion about what makes a game a 10. Is it perfect or is it not?
No such thing as perfect.
So we'll debate that when we get back. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind. Back, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to run down this week's new releases as fast as we possibly can, because we're starting to run a little long because of Street Farter. But Backyard Football 2008 is again on the list.
Wheelchair Kid.
For the PS2. Yeah, it's got the wheelchair kid. It's got Tom Brady on the front. Anyway. Beautiful Katamari.
Woo.
For the 360 comes out this week. So if you have Microsoft... Oh, wait. It's actually retail. Should be an arcade game. Anyway... Flash Focus, Vision Training, and Minutes a Day.
That looks really cool.
For the DS.
And a Donkey Kong plush doll. Well, let's not forget that.
We're doing games. What is this Flash Vision? Is this another brain training game?
Kind of.
No, it's like almost like a WarioWare kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of neat looking. I saw the commercial for it.
Alright, Full Metal Alchemist, the trading card game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're
Cricket's
excited.
Chirping on that one.
Yeah.
What else we got that's coming out? Oh, that's not right. Alright, also this week we have, I lost my page. Guilty Gear Accent Core.
Accent the Core!
That came out already.
For the Wii?
Oh, okay.
Aha, see, you lose.
Mario plush doll.
Stop with the plush dolls. Mercury Meltdown Revolution for the Wii. In case you cared, Rockstar Games Table Tennis comes out for the Wii this week. The B Game.
What's the name of the B Game?
No, it's the B Game. It's not B Movie.
Well,
it's the B
Game.
Tony Hawk's Proving Ground comes out this week for everything. PS3, 360, Wii, PS2, DS.
Avatar Jaguar, do the math.
Would you stop going with the damn plush doll? Avatar, The Burning Earth. Burning Earth. PS2, Wii, everything. God, it's still going. Backyard Football for the Wii. Crash of the Titans for the PSP. There's a lot of crap. Elder Scrolls, Shivering Isles, on disc. Fish Tycoon for the Nintendo DS.
Hannah Montana's Music Jam for the
Hannah Montana's Music Jam.
You know her dad's Billy Ray Cyrus?
I know.
Yeah, everybody knows that, but I have to keep saying it because it boggles my imagination.
The Legend of Spyro, The Eternal Night.
They're still making fucking Spyro games?
It's amazing. That little purple dragon's been around the block. Oblivion, Game of the Year for the PS3. Power Rangers, Super Legends.
They're still making Power Rangers games?
Well, you keep buying them.
And the march of ass for the DS continues.
Prism, Light the Way for the DS. For some reason, Spider-Man 3 is just now making its way to the PSP.
is that the UMD?
No, that is the game.
Wow.
SWAT, Target Liberty for the PSP.
PSP version of Spider-Man must have been in emo land. Depressed all this time, finally
I bet it's
to
so good.
Victorious Boxer comes out for the Wii this week.
You know what? The original Victorious Boxer wasn't all that bad.
No, it wasn't.
This new one actually looks kind of interesting. But, yeah, it's a Wii. So.
Well, you know it's not good when I'm looking at this list and it already has a price drop and it's not out yet. I mean, it's originally $49.99, but now there's a price drop of $10. That's terrible.
But it's okay, because Wild Pets, Dolphins, both of which end in Z, is coming out for the Nintendo DS.
I'm so excited.
Because dolphins are so extreme.
That wraps up the new... Wow. It's the Wii DS shovelware
Look,
program.
I don't understand all the crap that comes out for the DS.
You do not want Wild Pets Extreme Dolphins?
No. No. I do not like my dolphins ending in Z. Frightens me. I'm too conservative.
It's like the dolphin in the Starburst commercial that vomits on the freaking guy. That's like the greatest commercial ever.
I think that's a porpoise.
A porpoise with a Z? It's extreme porp. Anyway, that
extreme
wraps up.
Porp?
Extreme porp.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. That takes us out of new releases, and as you can see, it's a pretty slim week. I mean, Tony Hawk and Katamari are the big ones, and then...
It all goes downhill from there.
It goes to dolphins.
Fucking dolphins.
All right, now we're going to move on to a forum post that was posted by It's Dub C, which is our resident Wii fan. We give him big props because he gets a lot of crap on the forums from people about the Wii. It's got to get old, and I'm sure he hears it enough on this podcast, so... But we're going to run down some of the things that he highlighted. He made a very nice list of all the big announcements from the Nintendo conference. The first we already talked about a little bit, which was Monster Hunter 3 for the Wii.
Woohoo!
Super Mario Stadium Baseball.
Which should be pretty good.
Mario Baseball was just so No, it wasn't. It was really bad.
Well, but it could be decent on the Wii. With motion control for pitching and batting. Yeah.
I liked Mario Baseball. I guess I was in the minority of it. I mean, it was just fun to me because, you know, all the little things you could do.
Yeah, you do all the superpowers.
I'm curious how the Power Pros plays, because if it plays like Wii Baseball, but has season mode and all that other stuff, because that game is really good. Remember Extra Innings on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Nice.
Little crazy small thumb figures and stuff.
Wii Music, reconfirm.
Yes.
Clapping for Wii Music?
Yeah, yes. Wii Music.
So you can conduct an orchestra?
Bring it on.
That actually was one of the first titles that actually piqued my interest for that system. They're almost like Peter... What's his face?
Peter Rabbit?
Molyneux?
Molyneux? Whatever, the dude from...
Fable?
Yeah, they like deliver half of what they promise.
I thought you said he was from Fable. He was in the game? Shit.
Yeah, he was.
Goddamn stars over
know?
Here.
He's the guy who sits back and goes, hey...
Hey.
It's a chicken kicker.
I was about ready to say chicken kicker, and you beat me to it.
Alright, Sonic confirmed for Smash Brothers. We talked about that. That's what the 6 extra months of development time was for.
Last
Online co-op and battle for Smash Brothers Brawl.
That's what the delay's for.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I hear if you want to play as Knuckles in Smash Brothers Brawl, you have to... buy a little extra cartridge that you plug the initial.
A little sticker you put on your DVD.
Right.
Alright. Mario Kart Wii to finish. Blah, see, I can't even talk. Mario Kart Wii to feature motorcycles.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's very cool. That gets me super pumped for Mario Kart.
I'm actually already pumped for Mario Kart. I really want to see how the Wii wheel.
Well, that's what we're talking about next is Mario Kart to be released in spring 2008 with the free steering wheel. So that's pretty badass.
That actually may be the game that makes me repurchase a Wii.
I know I'll be playing it.
I am that much of a Mario Kart fan.
Think about it. Once you get it at that point, you'll be able to go back and play Metroid, Super Mario Galaxy. Yep. You'll be able to pick up Wii Sports again and Mario Kart. So you've got a solid collection of games there to play.
Yeah.
So... Wii Fit due for release on December 1st, at least in Japan.
Oh, boy.
That's all I gotta say about that game.
Oh, by the way, did you read the little blurb that the Wii Fit board only supports up to 300 pounds? So there's a limit. You know, like, apparently you get to a point where, like, you're just too fucking fat to play this game.
I'm sorry, I know you want to get in shape, but you're too fucking fat to play this game.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go outside and
you need
run
to go do
for a
some
while.
Real fit before you hit the Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem's coming to the DS. If you're a fan of Fire Emblem.
Hey, that's a good game. I'd be interested.
I'm still baffled by the 300-pound weight limit for the Wii Fit board. It's like because you know if somebody that buys Wii Fit to lose weight is going to look at that and get all depressed. And you're like, fuck, I'm over 300 pounds. I can't even play this game.
There's a new channel coming to the Wii which will allow you to download DS game demos.
Nice. Oh. Very, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you got all that Wi-Fi technology going on. It's pretty cool. Check Me Out channel. Yes, yeah, spelled with an M-I-I. Coming in November to Japan. I really don't know what it does, but the Everybody Votes channel to be updated to allow people to rate games and find other games they might like. I do. That's kind of cool.
It is.
So it's kind of like a like the Amazon, like you vote thumbs up, thumbs down kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. WiiWare games coming in March, which is very cool. I like that idea. Pokemon Farm.
Which I'm sure Davis is excited about.
Wow.
Allows the transfer of Pokemon from DS, Diamond, and Pearl.
To the farm.
You can farm.
Yeah.
The farm.
To farm. The farm. That all the farm.
Pikamoo.
Pikamoo. Yeah.
Dr. Mario is coming for WiiWare.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
If it's a new Dr. Mario.
No, it'll be an old one. Come on now.
Fuck.
It'll be a remake.
I saw pictures of Dr. Mario, and it actually had the Miis. It had the Miis actually in the game.
Really? They're like the children of the corn, Miis are.
They are. They're
running across my screen and scare the piss out of me.
Everywhere.
Namco Bandai has a new puzzle game for WiiWare. Bomberman's coming for WiiWare. Star Soldier R is coming for WiiWare.
Arr. Arr.
Joy Sound Wii.
Oh, it's a karaoke game. Awesome.
Well, it's better than Boogie.
Updated music downloads. That's pretty cool. And Square Enix announces exclusive Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, The Young King, and The Promised Land. God, that's a mouthful. For WiiWare, which will cost 1,500 Wii points and is fully 3D.
They really need to stop. They just really need to stop.
When's the Final Fantasy going to be really final?
It's never going to be final. That's the thing.
Stupid Square.
Hey, it could be good.
It could
be.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move on to the recent Capcom announcement, which is going to be announced by the time you listen to this, so I had to pull up the speculation thread about this.
Yes, all speculative.
Oh, I love the comment, too, because it can go so many different ways.
Yeah.
But basically, Monster Hunter was announced exclusive,
right.
So Capcom went on record and said, "You PS3 owners, let's see how they feel next week."
Yeah, because somebody asked them about the fact that, you know, PS3 owners feel betrayed by Capcom, which
betrayed.
Is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
me.
Because Devil May Cry is multi-platform and Monster Hunter is now only on
right.
the Wii.
Right, it's ridiculous. Well, you know, PlayStation made Capcom. Screw you. They were on Nintendo first anyway.
They were.
But,
yeah. But they don't remember that far.
Sorry, I have no problem with PS3 owners wanting exclusives from Capcom, that's fine, but I hate it when people, regardless of what system they're on, complain about games going to other systems if they're multi-platform. Because you get to play it still anyway. So I don't care. Why do you care if it's going to Xbox? Why do you care if it's going to PlayStation 3?
It doesn't matter.
Anyways, that's enough
unless
of that.
You got stock options. It's about the only thing you can actually...
Right.
Stock options.
So, but, no, I love the let's see how they'll feel next week comment, because it could go one of two ways. It can be let's see how they feel next week. They're going to be happy with us, or let's see how they feel next week when we say fuck you.
Like, oh, don't be crying out 360 exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. That's the scary part.
The first prediction comes from NGG12345.
Ingenious.
That's such a great name.
And he says they'll announce Power Stone 3 and Bionic Commando on PS3 as an exclusive.
I mean, they could announce Power Stone 3 and Bionic Commando. It wouldn't shock me.
They're not going to ever do Bionic Commando. Nobody loves us and how great Bionic Commando was.
Yeah, nobody would even know what Bionic Commando is anymore.
Although, you know, they could do one. I mean, the fact that all they got to really do is just take the Lost Planets engine. and make a new Bionic Commando game out of it.
Yeah.
It would be the same game. It would work.
It's almost like a spiritual successor.
Odeon says it's a new 2D Mega Man for the PSN, which I think we've already confirmed that.
Yeah.
That it's coming. Followed up with an announcement that RE5 for PS3 has been delayed indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Ouch.
Devil May Cry 4 canceled. RE5 canceled. These cancellations are none other than PS3 exclusives. That's from Santana's.
Wow.
Then we get some arguments going on. Dead Rising 2 is a big one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think it's probably going to be. I think it's probably going to be an announcement that Dead Rising 2 and Lost Planet 2 will be multi-platform.
Here's an interesting...
Don't think so.
You don't think so?
They've been talking about that Dead Rising 2 announcement for so long now, and it just isn't coming yet. It really boggles me why they haven't. It makes me wonder.
I actually want a Dino Crisis 4 after Dino Crisis 3.
You're jumping ahead. The next person, Legion. I think that's Legion. It's a 6, but it, you know, it kind of spells Legion. Next-gen PS3 exclusive Street Fighter number sign. That'd be 4, wouldn't it?
You would think,
You could count that high. Dead Rising 2, Dino Crisis 4, like he said. Marvel Capcom 3, not going to happen.
Not going to happen, people.
Steel Battalion 2, Mega Man number sign. That would be 10. Breath of Fire 4, etc. And you'll get nothing and like it.
Probably you'll get nothing and like
That's
it.
That's probably the best one.
I've seen a lot of the Marvel versus Capcom things. It's not going to happen.
Marvel
folks.
Is no longer under Capcom's belt. So.
EA owns it. So if you want EA versus Capcom, buy Marvel Nemesis. It's terrible.
Rise of the Imperfects. Yes.
Rise of the Perfect Piece of Shit is what it was.
But it'd be interesting to see if they did make a... Capcom versus something else that we've never seen
Capcom
before.
Capcom versus Guilty Gear.
They could make a new Capcom versus SNK if they wanted to.
So what do you think the announcement's going to be? Just...
I think the announcement is basically going to be video footage of the Super Street Fighter 2 remake.
For PSN and 360 Arcade?
Yeah, I think it's going to be actual video footage, and it's just going to be so awesome. That right then and there, everybody's going to be like, oh my god, Capcom's awesome. Ugh. And that'll be it.
But they'll still be pissed because it's on Xbox Live, too. It's not exclusive. I mean, if they're going to make the PS3 people happy, they're going to announce something exclusive.
Yeah.
What they can do is they can pull typical PS3 and go, you know, Devil May Cry coming in February for Xbox 360, July for PS3. It's the same exact game, but
I really
bring it out 6 months later for no particular reason whatsoever.
I really do think it's Dead Rising 2 and Lost Planet 2.
I hope it's Dead Rising 2.
Yep.
And make it multi-platform, I don't care.
I don't care.
I mean, it's still the same game.
Online Dead Rising 2.
Which was supposed to be in the Platinum Hits version of the original that never happened. Damn rumor squashing.
Street Fighter 4 would be pretty sweet.
Street Fighter 4 would be sweet, but I don't know that Capcom can actually count that high.
I think it's about time for them to get to 4. You'd think.
You would think.
Yeah.
Don't you know? Oh, yeah. All right, so that pretty much wraps up that segment. So we have a couple more things to go over. The first one we're going to do is... Do you want to do preview the review first, or you want to debate the importance of giving a game a 10?
Preview the review.
You want to do preview the review? Yeah. Preview the review first.
Speaking of the Capcom announcement, before we get off that subject, you need to call me at work when you hear it. So
we got all personal business going on the podcast.
I'll get off till 6, so I won't find
I will let you know as soon as I hear something, because it will be probably... You know what the thing is every time they do one of these big announcements, it's always generic.
It's
like
always,
G4 announced it for like a long time, and then what was it? Heroes is coming to the G4 channel. Right. Hoopty shit! Yeah. Seriously, it's on ABC or whatever, so...
Yeah, the Heroes guy was in Sarah Silverman's show.
Which one?
The last episode. She was trying to get batteries, and he was, like, selling stuff.
Which guy?
The Asian...
Oh, the little Asian hero? Yeah.
It's funny.
Hiro Nakamura.
Congratulations, you're a geek.
I'm a geek. You tell him I'm a fan.
We'll do preview the review, and the first game has already gotten a review. Call of Duty 4. So
I didn't see the review.
Well, then you're more virgin than I.
I'm a noob.
Well, I didn't see it, but I really don't browse the internet, so
it's in the OXM.
Don't have the OXM.
If you did, you'd be playing Guitar Hero.
Yes, I would, but I'll be playing it at halftime.
Exactly. So, what do you think Call of Duty 4 is going to get?
9.3.
You told me already. So.
Yeah.
And from just playing the beta,
yeah,
it deserves every freaking bit of it.
So Gamescom goes 9.3.
Yes.
You already know what they gave.
I know what it is.
But what do you think its average is going to be across?
Average is going to be?
Average across everything.
Well, the way that the averages have been lately on game rankings, it's probably going to be about 96-97%. At least for the first 6 months, and then it'll probably drop off because somebody like Jeff Gershman from GameSpot will probably go,
well, it's good, but I don't know, just something about it. The gun firing just didn't sound as accurate to me. 8.
Or what was his? What was the one review where he said after playing it for 24 hours continuously, it locked up? I remember reading that in the review. I'm like, are you fucking serious? That's going to be a negative point for a game, is that after you played it for 24 hours straight, it locked up. Right. It probably was telling you to turn it the fuck off. I'm probably going to go in between. I'll say about 95. Yeah. I mean, I think it'll get about a 95 total, and just because
there's a lot of Call of Duty fans out there, though, so I think. The question is, will it actually eclipse Bioshock's overall rating? Who knows?
Something already has.
What?
Orange Box.
Well, for now.
For now.
Because Halo eclipsed Orange Box, or Bioshock as well, but it dropped. So.
But can you really complain that the Xbox 360 has 3 titles right back to back that are taking over the top spots of the best rated game of all time?
As long as Mass Effect hits that top spot, too.
That'd be 4 must-own games in 2007. That's insane. That's insane. And all the shit that got delayed just makes me cry.
But what did it get? Drum roll.
It got a 10 in OXM. The first review for Call of Duty 4 got a 10.
Now, of course, take everything you read from OXM with a grain of salt, because they give everything a 10.
Actually, that was only their 4th. Of course, one of them was fighting it.
Okay, they overinflate their reviews, let's put it that way. Unless they just totally hate the game. So if they hate the game, it gets bashed all to hell.
Real bad.
It gets, like, really, really low scores.
3s and 4s.
If it's an okay game, it gets the okay score. But if they really like it, then they just overinflate their review. So.
Yeah, this is, like, their 4th 10, and that's in the company of, obviously, Bioshock, Halo 3, and for some weird, god-awful reason, Fight Night. Fight Night was the first game in OXM to get a 10.
Fight Night was great, though.
It was great, but it wasn't
really
a 10.
Shocker that they... Well, besides the fact that there's no boxers that are worth a damn on inboxing right now. But it's really shocked that EA didn't really pull one out this year. Especially they can make a Wii version, and that's off topic, but still.
It's funny because we'll get into the 10 conversation in a minute.
Yeah.
Next game up on the list, Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed.
Now, before we do this one, do you think it's going to be out this year?
Yeah.
After reading the comments from Ubisoft about it, do you feel it's coming out this year? That they're having troubles with both versions because the 360 version... And this pisses me off because it just creates internet crap. They said the 360 version are having a problem fitting it on a DVD. Why? Because of 5 languages. Now, people took that and ran with it. Like, oh, DVD's not enough space. Who the fuck needs 5 languages on the disc? Who uses more than one?
They make it 2 DVDs. It's 3 on...
But why? Why?
I'm just saying, if you need that extra space, use 2 DVDs.
But still, I mean, but they run that into... Put one language on the disc. How many games do you know have multi-language?
You know, I don't understand the whole thing about, you know, just on this whole DVD thing. It's like people are just so adamant about separating things onto different discs if they want to use that extra space. It's not like it's a problem. Got Sims Boy Voyage Deluxe thing for the PC. That thing's got 10 fucking discs on it. But there's a PC owner who doesn't mind. It's just, you know, it's just not that big of a deal to...
How lazy Americans
to
have to be
to get your
fat
ass up off the fucking couch and pop in the new DVD. I didn't mind when I was playing Blue Dragon. I wouldn't mind on anything as long as the game quality is there.
The only thing that I wouldn't want that for is in a game like say Halo, where I had to switch discs to play multiplayer and single player. You know, if I was playing single player and I had to jump over to a disc.
No, but they can do it to separate chapters.
And that's fine. That's fine. I don't mind. Like, Blue Dragon didn't bother me at all.
But anyway, as far as Assassin's Creed come out this year, I would have to say no.
I don't think it is either.
Because I did get to play it at the show. And it's still got some rough spots. I mean, to be honest with you, the control still isn't quite there. It's still a little loose. The frame rate isn't quite there. It's still a little herky-jerky.
That's another thing that Ubisoft said.
A lot of screen tearing and stuff. A lot of stuff I saw at the thing that everybody asked me, how was Assassin's Creed? Like, you know what? It wasn't a finished version. I don't really want to, you know, give my opinion on it. But I see a lot of promise there. If they release it as is, or what the demo was, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. So, no, there will not be Assassin's Creed this year. Especially, I mean, they're going to, right, right now they haven't been advertising as well as they should be.
Not at this
It would get buried with the 25, 26 titles that are coming out that same week, yeah. And with Mass Effect the following week, it's going to get buried.
And Rock Band.
And, yeah.
Same time frame.
Buried.
I really think it's going to see like a spring release. I think we're going
to
spring
away. I mean, they'd give them time to, you know, complete some more development time. And, you know, I mean, yeah, they ain't going to make that Christmas bucks, but at least they're going to get the bucks.
Yeah. But if they do flush it out, they release it next year. Let's kind of do this one on a two-tier thing. If they release it this year, what's it going to get?
What, Assassin's Creed?
Yeah. This year, if they push it out.
If they push it out and it gets out, I think it'll get like an 8.75.
I was going to say a 7.5.
If it comes out this year, what about next year? If they push it out, fix it.
If they take their time with it, it's a good 9.5 game. Because there's a lot of ingenuity, a lot of creativeness. And the whole... just the elements of everything you can do in the game just is very appealing.
That's what
I think
it's
a game they really need to take their time with it. Look how long it took them to make Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. And that turned out to be one of the best freaking games I've ever played.
And then they rushed the second one, and we saw what happened with that. It ended up being not nearly as good as the first one.
Yeah.
So if they release it next year, your 7.5 goes to... They push it back and do a little more extra development time?
9.5.
I'm about in the same area. I'd say between a 7.5 and an 8 if it comes out this year, and then if it comes out next year, I think it's got the potential to be that super huge 9.5 game.
Triple A title.
Yep.
Moving
on with a game we know will be out this year, Army of Two. Thoughts?
What do I think it's going to get?
Yeah.
Let me see here. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say 8.5.
7.58.
I'll go with 8. I think it's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be like a must-own, I mean, unless you're really into the co-op games.
Right. And it's nice to see people really doing more and more co-op games. Because not how many people complain about that. How there's just not enough games where people can play unless they're playing in a big multiplayer environment.
Yeah.
Two people can just go through. I mean, you know, how many people rejoiced when Halo 3 was co-op online for the single-player mission? So. I think we're going to see more and more of that.
That's what
I'm hoping, like Dead Rising 2, if they actually bring it out.
Two people in a mall?
Oh, man.
That would be awesome.
Four people in a mall?
That would probably, you know, to be honest with you, with Kane and Lynch, if they'd have made that multiplayer, like, co-op, would have raised my expectations. I'm still excited about the game.
Yeah.
But if it made it online co-op...
Problem with Army of Two, and this is just as an advertising thing, a lot of people get that and Kane and Lynch confused. Because
yeah.
You get the co-op, two guys kind of a thing, and you know, people are going to come in picking up Army of Two thinking it's Kane and Lynch, and then people are going to pick up Kane and Lynch thinking it's Army of Two, and I think it's going to hurt both games in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that.
And they're two really completely
much
different
like,
games.
Much like PsyOps and Second Sight.
Yeah, that was confusing to people. They were like, isn't that game where you use your powers? And like, which one?
There's two of them.
There's two, like, you know, mind power games. You got to pick one. And the last one on the list, Fire Emblem for the Wii, Radiant Dawn.
I think the Nintendo favored sites will probably give it 8s and 9s. I think the average review will probably be in the 7s.
I'm thinking it'll be 7.5 because they will say that it's a great game, but it's the same game as the one on the GameCube.
It looks just like
a GameCube game. It
yeah.
really does. And I think I remember seeing somebody play it, and they said that it is very much a GameCube game that was ported over. So
yeah, so I'm thinking about 7.5 because the gameplay is actually really good. Because I played it. I played the last couple ones. I played the GBA version. I played the GameCube version briefly, and the gameplay is great. But it's just going to get 7.5 because the, you know, it's not going to be much of an improvement over what we've already played.
That's true. I'm probably going to stick around in the sevens, low sevens,
yeah.
7.2, 7.3, something like that. But
it may even get a little more inflated because it's the first RPG on the system. So.
Yeah, and Fire Emblem's a big name to Nintendo files. Yeah. It really is. So I think it'll do well. I think it'll get a good review. I don't think it's going to be terrible in any respect. But we'll move on to the last segment, and this. I spawned this basically because over the last month or two, how many people have we seen? It seems like tens are just being handed out like they're candy at Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
And is it really, and really the big thing is, you know, BioShock gets 10s, Halo gets 10s, Orange Box gets 10s. You know, there's so many 10s.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty's getting a 10, you know.
Mass Effect, inevitable.
And the big confusion here is that people think 10 means perfect. People think when you give a game a 10 that there's nothing wrong with it. And on my site, you know, on our site, ztgamedomain.com, when we get, I've actually given more 10s this year than I think I ever have. I've given out 3 already, and I almost gave 4. I almost gave the Orange Box a 10.
It's a good year.
I mean, I was this close to giving it a 10. And I'm just like, and I look at my review scale and I'm like, 10 perfect? No. Is Halo perfect? No. Was BioShock perfect? No. Was Guitar Hero perfect? No. The reason I gave him a 10 is because I think that a 10 represents a classic game. A game that people are going to remember, people are going to play for a very long time, and then other games will be compared to it. It does the best that it can possibly do in the genre right now. It pleases the fans of the genre, the fans of the series, and it's just a really good game. A 10 is not perfect.
The biggest problem with 10s is for games that will get the inevitable sequel. Somebody will read it, see the 10, and then they'll see the following score, and it may not get the 10, and people are like, so you're trying to say the first one was better, and this one eclipses it by so much? And then, of course, then, you know, everybody will be ripping on the forums because it didn't get a 10 as well, kind of a thing. So,
and you, it makes you wonder if reviewers feel obligated, if a sequel is as good as the original and maybe a little better, to give it a 10. I think Grand Theft Auto suffered from that.
Yeah.
Because, like, Grand Theft Auto 3, a lot of people gave it a 10. Vice City, when it came out, was not a 10.
Right.
And it got a lot of 10s. I mean, and then San Andreas, of course, got 10s again.
Yeah.
So it really makes you feel like the reviewers are like, well, I gave the first one a 10. This one's better.
Well, it's hard not to do, too, because, I mean, I as a reviewer myself, I kind of fall into that trap. It's a trap.
I do, too.
Because I'll be sitting there, and I'm like, you know, since I have EA, I have to review sports titles year after year, and I'm like, look at my old score, and I'm like, well, this was better than last year's, and I gave this one a B+ or whatever, and I have to at least give it that score or higher just because it's the better version of it.
And I've run into that so many times, and I'm about to face the same dilemma again. I gave Guitar Hero 2 for the 360 this year a 10, just because of the downloadable content. It was so addictive. The achievements were great. Now Guitar Hero 3 is coming out. Is it going to be better than 2? Probably. Am I going to give it a 10? Probably not. And people will go back and look at my reviews and say, well, you gave 2 a 10, and 3, you know, a 9 or whatever. Does that mean 3 is not as good as 2? No, it doesn't. Does it mean 2 was perfect? No, it doesn't. It just means that at that time, that game was a 10. You know, and it's a classic, and people will remember it. But, like, if Halo 4 comes out, and, you know, it's the same as Halo 3 with a couple other things, you know, I'll just be like, no, it's not a 10.
So you're thinking that people shouldn't give 10s out anymore, or are you thinking that people should just reevaluate what a 10 really means?
I think people should reevaluate what a 10 means. And that's really the big thing, is it because people see that score and they're like, oh my God, the game's perfect. And we all know Dave Halverson loves to hand out 10s.
Speaking of which, the newest issue of Play Magazine, his editorial is all about him giving out 10s, and he's like, I know there's a lot of people on the internet, you know, complaining about me giving 10s to every game I review, and then he goes on and says that a 10 is not a perfect score, but it's just the way that he felt about the game.
And there's nothing wrong with that, and as much crap as I give Dave Halverson, if he really loves the games as much as he gives the score for, that's fine, because a review is just an opinion.
Yeah.
You have to look at it from every aspect. The only problem I have with him is that when he reviews a game like, say, Bullet Witch, that has a shit ton of problems. I like the game, but it had a shit ton of problems. He doesn't address the problems. And that's kind of what bothers me about his reviews. He talks about the positives of it. If you read his reviews, you want to play that game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you read it and you're definitely, like, oh my God, this game is awesome.
But
play it.
In that respect, can you really give a game a 10 and then talk about the negatives of it?
I think you can, because you don't. It's not perfect. And I got a lot of flack for that in my Halo review, because I gave it a 10 and then I posted 2 negatives. I posted negatives like, you know, the single player is not great, it's not going to blow your mind, and something else, and it's kind of short or whatever. But it's not even about it being perfect, because there is no perfect game. There is no game that you can't find a fault with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in that respect, nobody should ever give a 10 if a game, if 10 is considered perfect. No game should have ever got it.
Well, you know,
I think, I think if you're going to give a game a 10, though, you should really, you know, go into it and say there's no issues with this game, though. I'm not saying that there's, it's not saying that the game is perfect by any means, that they could, you know, you can see evolution in the future of games. So at this point in time, it's a 10, but, you know, there's going to be evolutions coming from it. But I think if you have anything negative to say, like with, for instance, Halo, because the story isn't quite, you know, even though it ended correctly, and but it was a very short single-player campaign. Granted, that's not why people buy Halo.
No.
But, you know, does it deserve a 10? I mean, that's... It's debatable.
Yeah, it's always going to be debatable whether or not a game deserves a 10, and not everybody's going to agree that a game deserves a 10. The reason why I gave Halo a 10 is just because there's so much shit in that package. That people, like, that multiplayer is going to be played for years. I mean, for years. And I think the only reason I didn't give Half-Life a 10, as much as I wanted to, because that package is the best value you're going to get this year, is because of its longevity. Once you finish Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Episode 2, and Portal, you're not going to be playing Team Fortress for the rest of your life. Whereas with Halo 3, people will play that multiplayer until Halo 4 comes out. And I think that's why I gave it a 10 and the Orange Box didn't get a 10. And then I have different reasons for Bioshock. The reason why I gave Bioshock a 10 is just because it was perfectly paced, it was gorgeous, had a great story, it did everything it needed to do right. It didn't have multiplayer, and you can knock it for that, but it's still, for what it was supposed to be, I think it was a 10.
Yeah, after playing the, I haven't beaten Bioshock yet, but from what I've played of it, I don't think I would want a multiplayer mode in Bioshock. I think it would feel cheap. It would feel tacked on.
Like much the darkness. Like,
or yeah. Strangleholds.
Strangleholds. It's very good examples of that, and those games should have been focused on single player. Problem with Stranglehold is that the single player was so short that they felt they had to throw that multiplayer in there just to kind of give you something else to do. Which, for me, I didn't need it because going back to the levels and just doing the kills and stuff again was enough fun for me not to care about the multiplayer. The multiplayer is just kind of, it's not great, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, if, you know, they threw in a multiplayer mode in Bioshock, would it have gotten a 10? Probably not, because then everybody would be reflecting on how half-assed the multiplayer was.
Exactly. And that's really probably what got it so many 10s.
Right.
Is because it didn't have a part of it that dragged down the rest of it.
It was focused on what it did great.
And then that's why I gave it a 10, is because what it focused on, it nailed it.
Right, and the thing is, just because it's a first-person shooter doesn't necessarily deems it multiplayer worthy.
No.
Because, you know, I mean, there's tons of MMOs out there that, you know, out there, but then, you don't hear people complaining that regular RPGs don't have multiplayer.
Exactly.
You deal with the fact that it's a single-player game, so just because it's set in a certain genre doesn't necessarily mean that it needs a multiplayer.
No, some games need multiplayer, not all games do. Like, Kane and Lynch deserves an online co-op mode. But a game like Bioshock doesn't necessarily need a multiplayer mode. And that's just the way it pans out. And it is true that if a game has a half-assed multiplayer, I think that hurt The Darkness a lot. Because people reviewed that part of the game, and they're kind of like, eh. Where if it had just been a single-player game, it probably would have scored a point, or, you know, half a point higher.
Yeah.
So that can't hurt us. That can't hurt it. But I just think people need to get over the fact that a 10 is not perfect. It's not a perfect game.
Well, according to the European Edge magazine, a 10 is perfect. And that's why, like, hardly any game, I don't think any game got
a
10.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, if you're going to come out in your review scores, and if you look at the breakdown of people's review scores, if they give a 10 as the perfect game, then damn it better be the perfect game.
Yeah.
And like that magazine, they don't give a lot of 10s, if barely at all, but there's a reason for that, because they do call it that. But there's some places out there, you know, EGM's a good example. 10 doesn't mean perfect from EGM.
Mm-mm. No,
just means an excellent quality game.
And that's the
best of the genre at this point in time.
That's what you have to look at it from a subjective point of view, because sites like IGN don't give 10s. And I think you have to look at the review scale, too. Do they review by points? Do they review by halves? Do they review by grades? And, you know, if you're doing a 5-star rating, 5 out of 5 is not going to be perfect. But if you run a system that has 100 possible scores, 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, you're going to see a lot less 10s.
Right.
But if you do the 0.5s, you're going to see more.
Right.
Because you only have 20, yeah. 20 possible scores that you're going to give, as opposed to 100.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like with X-Play, X-Play only gives
out of 5
stars,
right.
out of 5. So, you know.
Same thing. I mean, as poor of a magazine as it's become, but GamePro had the 5-point rating as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they get 5 out of 5s, but nobody seemed to say, well, it's not a perfect game.
Exactly.
They would just accept it for the fact that it's an excellent game because it got 5 smiley faces.
One thing I'll give about GamePro is they always knew how to make the review look cool. And they're like, 5 points for the guy's face. He's like, ah!
Yeah, he's like going insane. He's like, ah! But
yeah, go ahead.
Edge Magazine, dude, it's like games that get 10s here, and Edge Magazine gets like 7s and 8s. And it's crazy, like, I don't want to say any specific games, but like a Halo 3 or a BioShock will get like an 8 in Edge. In a game that, you know, over here is like an 8 or a 7.5, man, you see like 2s and 3s in Edge, man. It's crazy. It's like...
It's all based on the reviewer, yeah. and that's the thing that people don't understand, is that you have to look at who reviewed the game. You have to, and that kind of sucks because the media has grown so big. There are so many people out there reviewing games that you can look at it, and you look at, say, like a Bullet Witch, for example, and you go to the sites and you see 6, 6, 6.5, and then you see this 8.5. And you have to know that it's coming from a guy that absolutely loves those kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at, you have to know who's reviewing the game. Like, I don't expect people who are into RPGs to come into my reviews and expect to have the same taste as I do.
Yeah.
You know, when I review an RPG, I review it based on its merits and how fun it is. Because I, you know, I'm not a fan of the genre. So my opinion of, you know, a game, like an RPG, is not going to be the same as a guy who actually plays RPGs. In fact, I may be more gracious to it, or I may be more harsh to it.
Because we're not,
yeah.
we're not so subjective to the genre itself. And it's probably a big reason why we get so pissed off when we see Blue Dragon reviews.
Exactly.
Is because, you know, we don't play a whole lot of them. But we enjoy this game for what it is. Anyway, is it perfect? Of course not. But we definitely believe it deserves higher than it does. But there's going to be people out there who play every single RPG game that comes out, and they're like, okay, this does nothing for me. Yeah, the presentation's nice, but there's no depth or complexity to this, and it doesn't do anything totally original, so they're not going to give it a high score.
Exactly, so. And that's where a lot of that stuff comes from. Like,
yeah.
If Gambus Khan here was to jump on and review Halo 3, he's probably not going to give it a 10 like I did. He's not as much of a shooter fan as I am, you know. He's probably going to get in there and give it like an 8.5 or a 9 or something, you know. And that's just where you got to know who's reviewing the game. When you read my reviews, you got to know that I'm a huge shooter fan, I'm a huge action fan, I love racing games. I love fighting games, you know. If I'm reviewing an RPG, I'm just reviewing it based on what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about them to get in there and say, okay, well, this doesn't do this, 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 and this. I just look at it as, did I have fun while I was doing this, this, and that? And you know, and I, that's just the way it comes across, and that's what you have to know. When you go into a Dave Halverson review, you have to know that he loves everything Japanese. He loves everything with a chick female lead. You know, he loves all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, as long as you know that going in, and you know that his tastes are very different,
mm-hmm.
then you'd be fine.
And the thing is, also another thing about the knowing, getting to know the reviewer who reviews the game, it makes the difference between... Because to put it, you know, simplistic, all reviews are opinions, right?
Oh, yeah. They're like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Exactly. But what separates the threshold is... I'm not making sense. But anyway, there's a difference between an educated opinion and a non-educated opinion. And you could tell by some reviewers... It's their non-educated opinion about a certain type of game.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there, and it's going to continue to be that way.
You'll see a lot of bias in reviews as well. So,
and exactly, a lot of biased reviews from people who are very extremely knowledgeable about the genre, but they are also biased towards it and will give something a higher review than what it actually deserves.
Exactly. Like, people who hate RPGs won't give great RPGs, you know, great scores, just like people who are against first-person shooters or even certain consoles. We see it all the time.
Oh, yeah, then you get the console bias. And
which is just retarded. A game is a game. It doesn't matter what system it's on.
Or, like, yeah, a great example is the, you know, the not-so-popular genres. Let's just put wrestling games out there on the table. Just, like, you know, you're going to have a, like, for myself, I'm a big wrestling fan, TV and video game. And you're going to, you know, when SmackDown comes out, you know, unfortunately I won't be reviewing it, but if I did, you know, I'll probably end up getting a pretty high score depending if it's a great game or not.
Exactly.
If it turns out to be an awesome game, then of course I'm going to give it, you know, an inflated review just because I'm a fan of the genre and the subject matter. But then you're going to see EGMs and stuff, you know, probably rip it apart because they're going to compare it to the
fighting
genre
games.
That it's set in, like a fighting game. Yeah. They're like, as a fighting game, this is
yeah, they're
going
to compare it to, like, Virtual Fighter.
That's the way I am when I play a wrestling game. I'm like, you know, this isn't a good fighting game to me. And it's because I don't like the genre. So if I reviewed a wrestling game, it wouldn't be fair to that game for me to review it. And that's really another thing you got to look at. That's like, you know, getting somebody to review a game that's never played, you know, a football game to review Madden.
Right.
And they're going to be playing, and they're going to be like, I don't understand what the hell's going on. What is all this extra crap of price and hot dogs? I mean, this is just too tedious for me.
Right.
And that's the way it's going to happen. So.
Yeah. That's what it all boils down to.
So basically, the whole gist of this is 10 is not perfect. It never will be, according to most
Just
places.
Basically, the whole point of a 10, when you see a 10 review, is just to get excited and go out and buy that game.
Exactly.
Basically, 10 should just mean must buy.
Especially if you actually like that particular genre.
If you like that genre, you probably didn't wait for a review.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that 10 just makes you feel good about your purchase. Also, another thing you have to know your reviewer.
Yeah.
RPG guys should not read my reviews. I will review RPGs, and I will base them on their merits, but they shouldn't read mine. They should go out and read the guys who play nothing but
Nobody
RPGs.
Nobody should read Jeff Gershman's reviews.
Except for Tony Hawk fans.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk.
That's just like, I have my favorite reviewers. I think everybody does. Like, when you see a review, like when I see a review from Dan Hsu from EGM, I'll listen to it.
Yep.
Because he has similar taste.
Hillary Goldstein's another good example.
Exactly.
You know, the thing is, when people like sit there and like, oh, Hillary reviewed this game and he hated it for this reason. But you know what? He gave his reasons, and they're actually pretty honest to God reasons why. You know, most people just don't want to accept the fact that he's right sometimes.
Exactly, and that's another thing. I have reviewers that I don't like Shane Bettenhausen from EGM. When I read his reviews, I'm like, okay, if it's made by Nintendo, it's Japanese, or it's on a PlayStation 3, he's going to talk about how great it is. Like, he's going to give it a 9 or something, you know. And then if he's doing an Xbox game, he's going to find everything critical about it. He's going to find something wrong with it, and he's going to bring it down. And, you know, that's fine if that's the way he wants to review games. I don't care. But I will not go into a game review reading his review for what I think is going to be about it.
Right.
Shane Bettenhausen, he's all right. He's all right.
He's got his own taste, and he's very interesting. He's a very...
Yeah, he's a very eccentric character listen to him on podcasts.
He's very entertaining.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. But him and I have
very different tastes in games, so
yeah,
I mean, definitely not read his reviews. I'm sure he's not going to read mine for his opinion.
Yeah, we all have, you know, our own opinions about certain games and everything, but, you know, he seems to be cool, man.
He's definitely an interesting character.
He has drama.
But I think that pretty much wraps up this segment, which was a pretty good segment. And that pretty much wraps up the show. So we're going to get out of here. No questions today. I decided to cut that out just because it's
long
running
show,
long anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long show.
And we went out of here for football anyway.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes past kickoff.
20 minutes past kickoff, so.
Oh my God!
We got to get into that. So we're going to get out of here.
It's Monday.
Yeah, it is Monday. Shut up. We're breaking the fourth wall again.
Yeah, breaking the fourth wall.
We're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week to answer questions and do more good stuff. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
The sun will rise, burning faces staring back at it. You'll see the light as it shines oh so bright. You can't deny what we had was something special, and I wait on the day.
Ridiculous. How come every freaking week there's a burp in the outtakes or in the sound check?
I don't know.
Like everybody thinks that's the best way to check the sound. Let me vomit into the microphone. It's a great way to check the sound.
What's wrong with that?